Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. Catch the live stream on YouTube, trying to make it better. Talking about Matt's love for Kirk Herbstreit this week and how Kirk himself loves Florida State. He's a big fan. So check that out. And as always, tell your friends, get the podcast. It comes out every week. Some of the stuff, I've been cleaning up our archive feed, by the way. So if you go to archive.org, you can see the entire feed. I think it got everything moved into one location now that they've increased the storage amount, because we've like ran out of storage for a while. But everything should be up and running. So check it out there, because it's a good way for us to like see how many different people are chip watching the show or whatever. But big week in terms of football, because Super Bowl's next week. You'd think I'd be excited, Matt, but I watched the Pro Bowl. And the Pro Bowl has to be one of the worst television presentations of football I've ever seen. I was physically uncomfortable watching it. Did you watch it at all?
I didn't even know it was on.
I didn't know it was on either. I was cleaning around the house, and I thought, man, I'm really bored. I wish something was on TV so that I could, like, preoccupy myself while I'm, like, cleaning up a bit. And just randomly, I saw, like, a message pop up on the TV, because it's, like, an ad thing whenever you're on the regular TV. It's like, don't forget that the Pro Bowl's on ABC. And I thought, heck, I have an antenna. I thought it would be on, like, the NFL Network or something, and I wouldn't be able to watch it. So I turn it on, and it is just awful. They had flag football going on, and I knew it was flag football, but they had like smaller numbers. It wasn't like an 11 on 11. It looked like they had one center and a quarterback, and then they had one defensive lineman. Like I remember, I think it was Myles Garrett out there rushing the quarterback, which I mean, like you're getting dudes running around with wide open space that it's, you can't stop them. Like if you're an NFL quarterback, you're able to throw on the money a good bit of the time, right? It reminded me of my days quarterbacking at recess, where I could just like tear the defense apart no matter how many kids are on defense, because when you're so much older than what the kids are, that's kind of like what the NFL Pro Bowl is. There's not enough defense there to confuse you. Your guy, your receiver, they're not holding or they're not doing anything. They're not bumping him off the line because it's flag football. So he knows the route. The quarterback knows the route. They already have the advantage. If he knows it's going to be like a hook and go or something, he can pump fake away. And that defender most likely is going to bite. And then dudes are wide open, or like Tyreek Hill catches a slant and there's no one around him. And it's just, it's like watching practice. But the presentation was bad. The refs didn't know the penalties. That one of the, at the end, Baker Mayfield ran and he put his arm down to like guard the flag. So they said that because he flag guarded, even though he got the first down, they were like, turnover, he flag guarded, turnover. So Ray Lewis is celebrating. And then someone in the booth must have called down and was like, hey, guys, he got the first down. What the hell are you doing? So then it took like 5 minutes for them to figure out, oh, yeah, he did pick up the first down. So Ray Lewis is all mad. And I was worried for someone's safety out there, right? So he's getting upset. I'm already uncomfortable because the game itself, it's like people trying to hype you up for nothing. You know, it reminded me of like a fundraising event at like a public school. You know how they have people come in and they're like, you can stand in this pit and they'll blow air on you. Can get a ticket and you might win a prize. And it's like a little stuffed animal that you could get at the Dollar General. But the teachers have to pump it up because they need to raise money, because then they don't have supplies in their classroom. That's what it was almost like. You had like Peyton, instead of teachers pumping people up, it's like Peyton Manning and a bunch of old players that you were like, I remember when you played. Now you're like so old that I'm worried you're going to trip on the sideline and hurt yourself. Because some of the guys, it's like just bad. Jerry Rice, I think, had a goat chain on. Or maybe he had that at the NFC Championship game. I don't know. But like they were just showing old clips and I'm like, this is so weird. And people paid money to go see it in Orlando. I felt bad for them. Like, after the game, only, like, the Rams player was signing autographs. And so, like, he was just signing other people's jerseys that weren't even his. Because the other players weren't there. And I'm like, this guy. And they were like, this guy cares about the fans. I'm like, yeah, what about the rest of the guys? They're doing nothing. They barely got a workout. But they wanted me to care about the outcome of this game. To me, it was worse than even what the NBA's in-season tournament ended up being. Just a convoluted mess of, like, it had to have been a bunch of marketing guys in a room that were like, how can we make this make sense? And so they had different scoring. So the winner of the flag football game was the AFC, but they didn't win the Pro Bowl, Matt, because they gave points previous days for the skills challenge, which I didn't know. So I didn't watch any of the skills challenge that the NFC won. So I don't know what the hell they did. All I know is they should have lost the game because they lost the flag football. But I just wanted to see, if you're going to do flag football, it wasn't NFL. It wasn't. So why not do the NFL version and just play 11 man? I mean, you're paying guys to be there, right? That's the whole point of the Pro Bowl. Is that they started paying players, unless they just stopped paying them. And that's why you're getting random guys out there. I don't know. But do at least 11 on 11. So that if I'm watching, I'm kind of looking for the same things. Because you can mix defensive coverages up a lot. And at least get some incompletions. Every pass was like completed. It was so boring. I don't know why anyone would watch it. I think 6 million people watched it. And
I had actually heard that was kind of a similar thing too, with even in the high school ranks, that if you can get one or two stops defensively, that's huge, because everything is so stacked in the offense's favor, which when you're looking at a product that you really want to score a lot of points and have that type of interest, that's one way of looking at it, where you can feature it like that, where the players are at maybe less of an injury risk, and then playing full tackle contact games, and they can still kind of show off their skill set, which, thinking about trying to keep that draw there, I don't know.
So you're saying high school flag football?
Yes. Or even the high school 7-on-7s, not even flag.
Okay. I didn't know if you were talking about 7-on-7s or flag, or if you were talking about actual high school football.
No. Like the summer, like there's some of those competitive 7-on-7 things that are like, I haven't really researched it much, but I've heard other people talking about how they're starting to get into some of that stuff now. And I know that it was bigger in the South because you can get into spring football here pretty soon with the weather changing.
Well, they're talking about, I think even California was trying to get rid of all tackle football or something. I think it got struck down.
Yeah, they were looking at eliminating the youth tackle.
And so they would have had just flag. And maybe, because like, to me, people keep saying, oh, the NFL is going to evolve and it's going to become flag football. If it does, I'm not watching. It's almost like when people try to get me, and I know we've talked about esports before, but it's like people saying, hey, you should watch so-and-so fighting esports game where it's like these fake characters and you can kind of watch it. And it's like, to me, I'm like, I don't care. Like, yeah, if you played the game growing up, maybe. But, like, even so much of, like, playing sports video games, I'm excited for NCAA football to come out. Madden's killed it with all the card hype and, like, making it all about the players and whatever. And there's no strategy really anymore. And, like, to me, that's, like, kind of, for the flag football, that's what I felt. There's no strategy. I know people say, well, there's strategy in esports, but the game is the game. And if everyone is kind of doing the same exact thing, then it's really like who's just a little bit better, right? There's not really much strategy. I mean, some games are more like Rocket League or whatever, where they're playing like soccer and cars. Like that's more something I could watch because like it's simple. You don't have to be paying attention to like 800 dudes moving around or whatever. But like for Flag, it's like they made it too simple and it was just pointless. I just didn't get it. Like if I'm not playing, I don't care. Like that's a game where I looked and I thought, I could have probably played out there on defense. Those guys made no tackles or stops anyway. What'd be the difference if it was me versus a Pro Bowler? The one interception I think I did remember, the tight end Ferguson, maybe. I think that's who it was. Tipped the ball in the air, and then it was intercepted by the defense, and I thought, oh, I could have did that. The guy wasn't in a position to make a play. If he would have just caught the ball, they'd have been like at the 2-yard line or something. But it wasn't even a full field either. It was like a half field. It was just weird. I didn't get it. Just like they talk about, well, we're going to be building all these arenas for esports, or like when they talk about like lacrosse coming up. I get lacrosse more. It's a little bit different, like hockey on grass or whatever. But for Flag, if that's the direction that they want to go, the NFL, they're going to kill their cash cow. And I'm not saying that they will. I think they're smarter than that. They realize that people do not want to see it. I just don't think they fix it. Because they're already at the point where, what do you do? Where do you go from that?
Yeah.
You're already paying players to be in a game. And if someone gets hurt, they don't even want to risk it because there's no reward. And if you're at the Super Bowl, they're already doing it before the Super Bowl now. So people that are actually in the best teams, the best players on the best teams, aren't even in the Pro Bowl. But I'm supposed to watch a skills competition without, like, Mahomes? Why would I watch that? So that's my thought on it. I just really didn't like the direction. And I saw a lot of people saying, like, it was just, the presentation was just uncomfortable. Because it was such an amateur thing. That I thought, like, if a college program put something together in, like, a class, and it was almost like a freshman class got together, and they were like, hey, we're doing a sports broadcasting thing. We're going to do this flag football thing. That's kind of what it felt like, where it wasn't polished at all, and it was just weird. So, that's my thoughts. For the Super Bowl itself, though, I'm not really getting more excited either. Like, I just don't care if the Chiefs or Niners win. Do you?
At this point, I don't think it really matters one way or the other.
I feel like
the people that I really wanted to see win lost.
Is that the Bills?
The Steelers, the Bills, the Lions.
Yeah, I was thinking of last week's games. Yeah, I was hoping that the Lions-Ravens would have a game just to get some new blood. Like, it's been a decade since the Ravens were in it, right? And then the Lions have never been in it. The 49ers and Chiefs, we just had the Super Bowl. It's going to be kind of similar. And now they have McCaffrey. Like, that's the main difference, right? And Purdy.
Yeah, is that extra week to get healthy.
Yeah. If he's limping, it'll just be all the curses come down on him. Because did you see, they brought that clip back up about his mom. Did you see that clip about his mom calling his dad a pussy?
No.
They were like, I forget, it was some interview, but it was making the rounds because of the Super Bowl, where they were interviewing his mom, and it was like, she said, talked about being at a high school game or something, where the other team's fans were like, hey, Christian, you're just like your dad. You're a big pussy. And then she said, I was just shocked because I was surprised that they knew Ed that well. It's like, so she writes her own zingers, but then I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. But I still don't like Christian himself because he is wimpy, right? He's limping around all the time. But I just don't see how the 49ers are like a band. They're like a super team, a super group, but they went out for the front man and they just grabbed like a bargain bin Brock Purdy, right? They're like, hey, we spent all the money on guitars, drums, bass. who are we getting to sing it? It's like, who's around? Right?
See, and that's like the same script that New England wrote. Who do we have? Just some random seventh round quarterback.
Hey, Tom Brady was a sixth round. Put some respect on his name. And he's handsome. You didn't mention that.
No, I did not.
Don't make fun of my man Tom Brady.
That sound like a fringe lunatic.
Hey, I noticed that Tom Brady wasn't at the Pro Bowl. Maybe he was, but they didn't show him like they showed the other guys. And they tried to make it like an Eli NFC.
Well, maybe if he was dating a Grammy Award winning artist, maybe they would show him a little bit more often.
He's going to be, they had the thing with, he's taking someone's job, right? To broadcast next year. But they tried to make it a Peyton versus Eli thing. Peyton was on the AFC, Eli's on the NFC. And then like Ray Lewis is mixed in there somehow. But again, I'm like, I don't care about the Manning brothers either. Like, to your point, they just needed, like, I'm surprised that they didn't bring in like Taylor Swift and like, does she have a rival or something? Oh, I guess her man's not playing in the Pro Bowl. He's above that. So maybe they will have that for the Super Bowl. I could tune in. They said she's going to be there, right? I was worried. Japan, did you see they worked it out? Did you see that story?
No.
So she's doing a tour in Japan.
Oh,
this weekend, and they...
He's going to be able to make it in time.
Yeah, they said they guarantee that the flights will not be delayed or something.
That's pretty impressive that she can control the TSA.
I know. Good on them, controlling the weather. It's like ice storms or anything? Nah. I mean, Kobe tried.
I kind of feel like maybe she's setting herself up like Kobe was like, I'm making it to this game.
I know. That's what I was just going to say. Kobe tried that once. Is it too soon? For a Kobe joke, probably. I'll be getting our stream banned. It's probably already not even going through. I'll take more risks with my jokes this week. People will be like, what is this show? Get off the show. It's like when that guy was attacking you for bringing up John Gruden all the time. For like years. Years. Now we just have people trying to take our show down. But it did remind me, I forgot to bring it up. When I was going through our old archives, trying to make sure everything was like carried over, 2 years ago, or no, wait, I guess it'd be like 3 years ago now. It's 2021 somewhere in there. We did a show on Mike Tomlin. He said that changes were coming, and they didn't come.
They are. They haven't happened yet.
A couple years from now, right? It's almost an entire.
Act expires next year.
It's like a politician. It was almost an entire political or presidential campaign thing or whatever. 10-year. What do they call it? The 4 years? Like, that's almost how long it's been since the changes have been coming. Like, we'll get them next time. Don't worry, guys. And that's why I think, to me, a lot of Pittsburgh fans I talked to, they didn't want the Ravens to go. But if the Ravens would have went, maybe there would be a little bit more fire in Pittsburgh, right? Because I thought about this where when Michigan was going through their thing with like Rich Rod and Brady Hoke, it seemed like a lot of people in the admin, they just didn't care. And then when Urban came in and won the national championship, then it was kind of like, oh, that Jim Tressel thing wasn't a fluke. Because a lot of Michigan guys were like, Ohio State shouldn't have won. They had that pass interference against Miami. Miami's clearly better. And then they beat Alabama and won the national championship. And Urban Meyer was like crushing. And then finally Harbaugh's like, look, we need the support. We need the support. And he finally gets it. And now it's like, that's what they needed to get the program on the right track. Where if the Ravens, I'm not saying they had to win the Super Bowl. If the Ravens would have got to the Super Bowl. Because that's what it took for Michigan. It took Ohio State to kind of get there. And now that Michigan won it, the same thing's happening for Ohio State. They're doing NIL crazy. You think that they would have randomly had a bunch of NIL guys happen this year if Michigan didn't win the national championship? If Michigan loses by a ton to Bama, do you think they're really investing as much as they are? No. But they're pissed because to them.
But I would say even they have to gain ground. And if they've been, if the entire season for those two schools is who wins the game, and you're not on the uptick, then you got to do something to move the needle.
Well, now with the playoffs, we're going to see, because that's what I'm saying with like the Steelers. Like the Bengals made the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh don't really care about the Bengals, right? They don't like them, but they're kind of like, they're not threatened by them. Where I feel like the Ravens and the Browns, if they were to get to the Super Bowl, the Steelers fans would be super annoyed, and I think you'd start to see more pressure on Tomlin to do something. Because that's where I've kind of felt the same way with Green Bay. Green Bay kind of choked it away. They hired Jeff Hafley, right, from Boston College as the defensive coordinator. What a steal. Yep. That's how much NIL is like messing with some of the smaller schools, where he's just giving up being the head coach to go to the Packers as a defensive coordinator. Who does that? Like, because I think he's kind of younger still, right? He's like, nah.
Yeah, and all things considered, he was starting to move Boston College in a positive direction.
I know you have to say that after last year's outcome, right? All right. No, let me read your contract. Are you contractively, did Kirk Herbstreit tell you to say that? I know he's all at Florida State things on the up and up.
Well, no, but you look like they were ranked at some point.
When?
I don't know. I don't have everything. I'm not that organized with my life. Because what they do is they rank ACC teams like within that 20 to 25 range, so you can kind of get a glimmer that, oh yeah, they're there. But it's not just all Big Ten and SEC teams, and then we lose one week, and then it's like, if it was an SEC school, they'd fall from 20 to 20 to 21 or 22. If it's Miami or Boston College, are falling from 20 to 756 in Division One.
So I will say, maybe Hafley's just a little bit of a Michigan man, because he left, and now Boston College is trying to get Bill O'Brien, which I think is a great hire, because the things he did at Penn State were kind of like over the top. Penn State was getting hit by sanctions, and he was able to rally the team and have them look like competent, when everyone thought that was a death penalty. Now, of course, I brought up that he hasn't won a championship at Nick Saban or Bill Belichick during their prime. But now he's going to be the head coach. Maybe he can win the ACC championship and get them moving up. Because some of the NFL stuff is going to be like a little bit different, where we're seeing a lot of coaches go from college and they're trying to get to the pros because they don't want to do anything. I've heard from a couple people with UCLA coming into the Big Ten that Chip Kelly's been trying to get an offensive coordinator job in the NFL and maybe even college, because he doesn't care and he's already on thin ice. Like, he wants out, which would be another insane move. I think a lot of the positions are already filled across the NFL now. But if it would have been, wouldn't it have been funny if like he just bails? He's like, sorry guys, I'm going to be an OC somewhere. It's like, it'd be over the top, because I would think he's a good offensive coordinator, even in the NFL / college or whatever. But that's my sky is falling stuff for the NCAA, where maybe if enough coaches hate the NIL so much that they're willing to try to get into the NFL in a lower position, maybe we'll start to see some evolution in NFL offenses. Because like Kingsbury, you talked about him. Didn't he end up, where did he even end up? At Washington?
He ended up in Washington, and that surprised me, because all signs were pointing toward him going to the Raiders, and I thought that would be, that would have been a pretty solid duo with Pierce being a defensive-minded coach, that I thought that synced up well. But with the speculation that Washington, who already has UNC Sam Howell, is now looking at possibly taking May, is another UNC air raid style quarterback to partner with him. It's like, oh, so you just want to be middle of the road in the NFC.
Yeah, because every great quarterback has a partner. Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady.
When I think of elite quarterback play, I definitely think UNC. Mitch Trubisky.
It's like the NFL things I sent you. Like, Michigan has like the most NFL players ever play in the Super Bowl, and people were like, Ohio State's not on the list. I'm like, yeah, name one solid Ohio State like guy that's been playing for like a long time. You can't really. Maybe some like role players or other defensive players or something, but like not a Tom Brady. Get out of here, guys. Get out of here. That's like, Ohio State quarterbacks can't even win. Tom Brady has better stats than all Ohio State quarterbacks combined. So, like, it probably has the same for UNC, I would imagine. But at some point, like I've been arguing, some of these schools, you would think that they would be system QBs. The only thing is, Sam Howell did look decent for a stretch. Because I remember I had him on fantasy. I never really used him. And then he got shut down. And he ruined Bieniemy's career. Right? Maybe there'll be a trade. Bieniemy can go down to college. And then some of the college guys like Chip Kelly can come back up. And it'll just be a bigger cycle now.
Or maybe it'll be Mike Tomlin where he's like, hey, I know we already have an offensive coordinator, but hear me out. Assistant to the offensive coordinator.
They'll put him at like tight ends coach. Something strange. Like, hey, we need you out here. You're going to be the guy to come in and just do tight ends after your fall from grace from the Chiefs down. That's what I said last year. Like, why did he take the Washington job? Because, like, I don't know if you saw any of the Harbaugh stuff. I haven't been keeping an eye on it too close. But I was like, I better check and see because he's been poaching a lot of more Michigan coaches. So he's, like, building a college staff with the Chargers. And I was like, I wonder who they got it as the GM. So they got one of the Ravens guys. Not the head GM, but, like, some guy that's worked there for a while. And him and Harbaugh were talking about how they have plans to win multiple Super Bowls. And I thought, this isn't a good start. Like, he said he wants it to at least win. I think he said he has two rings with the Ravens. He wants to at least, the GM did. He said he wants to bring two rings to the Chargers. And I thought, oh my gosh, you guys are burying yourselves already. Because if Herbert keeps getting hurt or doesn't pan out in Harbaugh's system, what are they going to do? Bring in JJ? The most Harbaugh thing would be is if they draft JJ like in the end of the first round this year. People were like, he got his guy. He got his guy.
Just start drafting all of his guys from right away. Told you, we're just going to be in this together forever.
Hey, he did say that, well, people laughed when he said that Michigan was going to be like winning the championship. Then he said that he thinks JJ will be the first quarterback taken. People are laughing at him. And now he's saying that that Michigan's going to have the most players drafted in a draft of all time. I think Georgia had it last year, maybe. And Michigan's had a couple of like random role-playing defensive players that I think will get drafted just based on talent alone, declare out of like nowhere. And maybe it's because of the Harbaugh thing going pro. But I wouldn't be surprised now if we did have that many drafted. So maybe he's right. Maybe JJ will fall to him and he has to take him, right? I mean, JJ's pretty solid. He just makes some dumb decisions. But I mean, I guess he could always grow out of that. He only did 4 interceptions this year. It's not, I say dumb decisions, it's not like he's been doing them all the time, right? So some quarterbacks have like 30 interceptions or 20 interceptions. So I'm not knocking JJ. I like him. He won the national championship. What am I talking about, right? But for the NFL, disappointed in some of the coaches. Like Vrabel doesn't have a job, right? Belichick doesn't have a job.
Because he's too beefy.
Pete Carroll doesn't have a job. That's what What'd you say?
I said there's reports that teams interviewed Brian Vrabel and he interviewed well, but they said he was just too massive. They said he was too big. He was intimidating people in the office. They're like afraid he's going to go CTE rage and they're not going to be able to control him.
Nah, who said that? They had reports on that?
Yes, look at it, Google it.
See, that's what I am kind of.
Mike Vrabel is too beefy.
See, Mike Vrabel, what if he ends up as Ohio State's offensive coordinator if Bill O'Brien leaves? And then they have a man ball contest with Michigan. That we don't need that. Getting back to just having a massive run.
It'll be like the Roman Empire. They'll just each fight each other at midfield. They won't have to play the game.
Hey, maybe Michigan can hire him as the offensive coordinator. He would fit in with that power offense. And he would probably be pissed at Ohio State, right? If they didn't offer him a job and he's down on his luck. But maybe, I don't know. That's the one that kind of surprised me. Pete Carroll, people are like, Pete Carroll should get a job. I'm like, he's 100 years old. Do you just offer your like grandparents jobs if you had a business? Knowing that they're on the tail end of things? Might be forgetting stuff. I don't want that type of person running my whole operation, right? That's what some of these guys are. They're just old. Same with like Nick Saban. People are like, oh, he should have came back. I'm like, should he have? And I'm worried for some of their health. So I want to see some of the younger guys. In fact, at a random note, I went to what they called the Carolina Classic last night, the hockey game between NC State and UNC. And the honorary puck dropper was the UNC field hockey coach. And she has 5 national championships, Matt. And she's 23 years old. She won, unless I misheard, they said that she won every year she was a player, they won the national championship 4 years in a row. And then they said that they're looking into it. But the latest national championship, she's their head coach, might have put her as the youngest head coach of all time to win the national championship in the NCAA history for any sport. Because I know like some of those NFL or the NCAA like football players back in the day, like they were player coaches, right? So maybe that's wrong. But they very clearly said that she's 23 and they just won the national championship. I think it was field hockey. What did I say? Did I say it? Even what sport it was? But insane. So you have a team like that that can kind of build around youth. And I think that's where you're going to see kind of football go. Because like some of these old coaches, they're not like for NIL. They're not going to be good for NIL. They're just not. On the other hand, the Attorney General for Tennessee and Virginia both came in and tried to get the NCAA into a lawsuit over restricting NIL money. They had their temporary restraining order, like Harbaugh did, thrown out of the court. It was denied, but the judge said the same thing where he thinks they could win it. So now they actually have to go through with it or they're going to withdraw. And I wonder what's going to happen. I tried to figure out why Virginia was involved and I couldn't find any details. Tennessee's is over their quarterback. They're rumored to have been NIL deal set up before his recruitment where they outlined a plan to pay him $8 million over his career at Tennessee, which is what the NCAA doesn't want. But everybody's doing it. You can't tell me. This is what Georgia tried to set up Florida State with. Georgia, they pretended like, oh, our guy just randomly tried to transfer to Florida State to get the details. And it's like Georgia had to figure one. They wanted to know what the number was. They were doing it themselves. They wanted to know what Florida State was pitching. So they had this guy do it. And then they ratted him out to the NCAA. When I guarantee you, Georgia's doing the exact same thing. In fact, most schools are. So, I just don't get it. Like, I hope that this comes down and there should be no restrictions on NIL. Because I will say, even when I played baseball and I wasn't even in the top leagues or anything, there were restrictions. You were supposed to declare how much you were making. I tried to do, well, I didn't try to do, they wanted us to like raise money. So I went out in my mountain gear and I got in trouble, dude. I don't know if I ever told the story on the show, but collected donations. We had to almost give them back because it was under, it wasn't an NCAA approved fundraising event. And I was like, you got to be shitting me. Like, what the hell are you guys talking? You told us to go raise money, but yet we were supposed to do it under the guise of nothing. And then I remember we came out next time to like doing like a, just a fundraiser thing, like a gas station or something. And people were like, how do we know you guys are legit? It's like, I don't know. I tried to do it legit last time. They said I couldn't use my my baseball status as whatever. Now it's from some random guy asking for money to support. It's like, support the troops. But you're not really an officer or something. You're just pretending. And then you're homeless. So that's what I, for NIL, they should be able to do it. Like the guy that was punting or whatever and doing YouTube trick punts. Who cares? Why would the NCAA stop that? And what if he was doing that beforehand and a college was like, hey, we're going to sponsor some of your vids. And they're like, nope. Violation of the old NIL. Because if it's a booster, they're supposed to declare it. But like someone laid it out and they said, what makes someone a booster now? Because like if Harbaugh went to the Chargers and he said, you know what? I'm just going to pay $1 million to keep Michigan afloat since I left. And he starts paying $1 million for the entire football team. Is he allowed to do that? Because now he's a past coach and player. Like, where's the line? Like, is it just anyone? Because he's an alum, I think, too. So is he allowed? He's connected to the university. Can he just donate to the fund? Or is that a violation? Because he used to coach there. And he recruited the guys.
Well, I'm sure with all the compliance guys, I'm sure he still has all the numbers that he can ask them.
I know, that's what I'm waiting. People are like, he ran away. I'm like, he's been trying to leave for years. He sabotaged the entire... That's why a lot of fans are still mad, because I gave my rant on it like a week or two ago. But a lot of my beliefs are still the same, where he left, he's taking coaches, he really pitched to elevate, like to promote from within, but then he poached all of the support staff. So like, how is his legacy really going to play out if Sharon Moore can't keep it rolling? Michigan has a tough schedule this year. 8-4 would be a decent year, if we're being honest. Not recent levels, right? Coming off a national championship, going 8-4 would be a disappointment, I think, to a lot of schools. That's a great season. Like, it's hard to say with the schedule they have, but if they go 8-4 this year and then next year 6-6 and then a losing record, I think that really is going to harm Harbaugh's legacy, especially if he doesn't have success with the Chargers. It's going to look kind of like when Beilein left Michigan basketball. They were runners up. They didn't win the national championship. And then he had great recruiting coming in and looked like he had like sustained success again. They were runners up in like 2013 and then 2018 or whatever that year was. And then he's like, I'm going to go to the NBA. And he was awful and got fired immediately. Right. And now his entire program that he built is basically falling apart. Michigan's in last place. Juwan Howard has to be fired. I don't know how. People are saying that the AD wants to give him another year. I don't know how you come in last place after. I mean, they said that, oh, he did lead them to like an Elite Eight or whatever it was his first year and then a Sweet 16. Every year you're getting worse. I think that's just Beilein's players going through the system and now it's done. You just got to cut the ties. But I think it kind of ruined not so much Beilein's legacy because it really wasn't his fault. He did wait until to leave. And so I hear a lot of people complaining about the way he left still, even though it's been years. If Harbaugh leaves, takes a bunch of coaches, and then has a failure, and then Michigan football goes down, I don't think a lot of people are going to look really favorably to Harbaugh's legacy at Michigan, even though he won the national championship. Losing record against Ohio State. barely has a winning record against Michigan State, and then takes everyone with him and tanks the program. I would think, now if it's a David Shaw type run, then I don't think people will care if he takes coaches with them, but we don't know yet. That's where my head's going through all this thing. I circling back around to the hockey thing, though. I brought it up about the UNC honorary captain or whatever that. I don't even know if they gave her a name. I'm assuming they did. I just didn't catch it. But UNC coach, for their hockey coach, also announced at the game, they did an interview with them, where he plans on getting the UNC hockey to Division One. At least I think that's what it's called. They're in like the club level right now. So I think they're club level two. They said within the next 2 years, they're going to go to club level one, and then they're going to jump to D1, and they have a roadmap to put them in place to win a national championship. And for all the people out there that have been listening to the show, and I talk about the SEC, SEC doesn't play hockey. UNC is looking to leave the ACC. If they randomly have a plan to go Division One in hockey, I have to think that they're looking at the Big Ten. Now, I look for some info on this because I haven't seen it reported anywhere. I mean, he announced it on the big board, and I would assume there were some journalists there because they had TV cameras and things there, and I think they even streamed the game. But the only articles from like a couple months ago where they have a donor lined up to build them a $20 million hockey arena, which is a key part of their application of it to join Division One. And the donor said, worst case scenario, this takes 15 years or something, but we will be Division One, is what he said. And I wondered if his timeline was kind of due to the ACC grant of rights, right? That's like 12 years away, isn't it?
So, nah, it's as soon as Florida State finishes their lawsuit.
Well, that's why this guy kind of made it seem like, hey, we might have to wait 15 years or so, but we will be there. And to me, I'm kind of thinking is if the donors are investing to do more sports, I have a hard time believing they're going to go to a conference with less sports just because people want them to be in the SEC. Like, I have a tough time not believing it. And the one thing that kind of struck me is that a couple people made comments about leaving Duke behind. Because, like, I was sitting right beside where they were doing, like, the UNC interviews. And there were at least two or three people that made jokes about Duke leaving them behind. One person said it's not even a rivalry anymore since Coach K is not there, so they do not care. And it was kind of like, this is kind of weird, you know, that they're just basically pitching that they want to just basically leave the ACC. Because they're not going to be the only ACC team that has a hockey team, right? That would make no sense. It would make zero sense. Now, NC State has a better hockey program, I believe, in terms of club hockey. And I would be kind of surprised if they didn't try to do something similar, but maybe they don't have the funding. I don't know. But that was one of the things that Florida State had tried to talk about, too, is elevating their club hockey team. So I wouldn't be surprised if Florida State and UNC and some other random school just randomly get D1 hockey set up and in the works right as they're joining the Big Ten. Don't be surprised if that happens. Because then putting that pressure on Notre Dame to join with them, because Notre Dame has hockey. And if you get UNC and you get Florida State and you potentially get maybe a Stanford or someone else that they're rivals with, I have a hard time believing that Notre Dame's going to say no. Because the Big Ten, after the other lawsuit that we talked about, Dartmouth now considers their basketball players employees. Wasn't it Northwestern that tried for a union?
Well, Dartmouth was the original, and then now they're picking it up.
So, from them being employees, they can start a union now. Right?
Correct.
I thought it was odd that they only said basketball players, though, right? They have to have other sports, I would think.
Well, I think that they're just trying to be logical with it and start with a program that they can have relatively low numbers and not have it affect everything compared to like the bigger rosters of the football team and trying to have everyone buy in and get covered. Like, I think you just need one school to prove that they can get everybody on board and go from there.
Well, I did talk to this guy. I don't know if I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but he was convinced. I think he's like connected with Duke, but he's convinced that they need to possibly just forget about football. Because I've heard people say that. I don't know how connected this guy is, but he was saying that if you look at the Big East and what Villanova's been doing, they have their football at like a lower level. And what if they just didn't have football at all? It's just a club level. Then they could even have more resources to just dump into basketball. And that's what they're known for. Duke's already known for basketball. They're kind of have a football team, right? But in the long term, it doesn't really help them. If the conference is kind of split, he was kind of selling me that, like, if the conference thing doesn't happen, I could see Duke dropping football and just going with basketball all in. And he was kind of pitching that he liked the Big East layout where Duke could just slide right into a Villanova role and they have the money from donors to say, like, hey, we lost football, we're making basketball count. And they're going to have like the number one recruiting class every year. And maybe that's what some of these smaller schools do. Because, yeah, football drives all the money. But like a Dartmouth, they're not, what are they even competing in? They're Ivy League, right? I'm looking them up right now. They have 34 varsity teams. And I'm assuming they play everything that the Ivy League plays. But if they're only focused on basketball, like you said, they don't really have a chance of getting into a big football playoff spot making money. The only way they make money is through the NCAA tournament. And if they can focus on getting their guys paid and they're getting the Ivy League bid and they're making the NCAA tournament and they're getting extra money and exposure, it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
I have to think that that's the mindset. Because to me, if you're like, hey, we're trying to get in recruitment. I did hear a pitch. I didn't get a list. I tried to get a list. Maybe I can have one for next week. They're talking about the biggest, like they're doing the brand stuff for college athletics is coming across. And they were marketing on the biggest like improvements. And one of the things that they talked about in terms of like sales and value, because it ties into like the conference expansion, was that did a team have national success? And some teams in the top 25 or whatever, they've never had national success. They've never won a national championship, or if they have, it's been 40 years. So them being up there is their way of saying, like, look, we have fans. People are buying our merch. People are watching us on TV. We're one of the most valuable. Don't leave us behind. And I would have to think that Duke's a part of that. Now, they do have, I don't know, when's the last time they won a national championship in basketball? A couple years ago? So, maybe? Did they win one a couple years ago, or has it been a long time? I can't even remember now. It's probably COVID year. That's when all the weird stuff happened. But that's the one thing where the Big Ten and the SEC, and in response to this, they've created an advisory board where they teamed up now. I don't know what that means, because remember the Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC alliance that did nothing. So what's the advisory board going to get them, right? Because I still think that it's going to be the both conferences, I don't think, are going to merge. It just doesn't make sense. Because they're not going to take every school. And maybe they don't, because the other merger that's been announced, I don't know if you saw this, I don't know if I texted it to you, But ESPN and Fox and Warner Brothers are teaming up to create a new streaming service just for sports.
Gee, thanks.
So they haven't announced the price, but they said that anyone that subscribes to their other services, Hulu for Disney, Hulu, Disney Plus, whatever the hell it's called, if they subscribe to ESPN Plus, which is kind of bundled in with that anyway, or if they subscribe to like HBO Max, that you have the convenience, Matt, of paying for this add-on and just getting sports. And years ago, this is what I wanted, but I've been getting away from just watching random sports as I get older. If it's not Michigan, if it's not the NFL, I really don't care. And Michigan's other sports are pretty bad right now. I said it earlier in the show. I think we need change at the athletic department. There's nothing that makes me hockey might have a chance. That's it for the rest of the year. I don't know about baseball or softball, but when you let one of the greatest baseball coaches in Michigan history walk and go to Clemson, there's a problem. And then hockey has issues, so they have to go through a coaching change. And then Michigan basketball right now is down. So, like, what sports am I going to watch? If you're a regional sports fan, like if you're a baseball fan, maybe I could get this to watch the Braves. But baseball on TV is still slow and boring as hell. And it's in the summer when there's stuff to do outside, right? Not going to lie, the Braves would be the other team that I would potentially watch, but I already get enough randomly through ESPN Plus or like on a Friday and Saturday night that I can watch a couple games here and there. And when the playoffs start, that's when I'm in. And when they're out of the playoffs, I don't care. I'm back to not caring. Like, I'm not going to watch a random baseball game unless it's like for the World Series or something. So I'm not, that, to me, that's not worth it to pay for. NBA, no one's watching anyway. Their ratings are down. Hockey, a lot of them is on ESPN Plus. I do put that on randomly, but not enough to like pay a large amount for. And what was the other? They said four major leagues. Did I talk about them all? The NFL is probably not going to be involved really too much anyway. Their stuff's all over the air. So I'm assuming that's the NFL network content. So you're going to get one game a week, right? If that, they've been putting their games on Amazon Prime anyway. But you have that, baseball, basketball, and hockey, and college. Is that going to be worth it? What if it's $50 a month?
But I almost, like, I feel like, I don't know that I would do this with every single package, but I felt like with the NFL and their Sunday ticket, like, it's a higher price thing, but then you have access to all the games in one spot, and you know what you're getting yourself into ahead of time.
Well, see, that's where I don't think that's going to include this, because I think this is more just replacing the regional channels that were going bankrupt, where it's going to be like the TNT basketball games that are random. I don't think you're getting every game. It's not going to replace the NBA ticket or whatever. I would be shocked. It's more like, hey, you're going to just get the TV channels and the games that are going to be blacked out. Where, like, if I buy MLB TV, I could see, I don't know if the Braves are still on the blackout list. There was a point where in North Carolina, like, you can have like four teams blacked out in baseball, which is complete bullshit. So, like, if I want to try to watch the Braves, I could be blocked out from Braves, Nationals, and Orioles, depending on where I live down here. And potentially some, what was the other team? Was it the Reds? It was another team you wouldn't think of, just the way the map overlaps, because there's not really a North Carolina baseball team, and there's not really one in Virginia. So we get screwed. So to get around that, you have to buy what used to be Fox Sports South. So whatever games weren't on MLB TV, you'd have to watch on Fox Sports South. Now this is going to replace Fox Sports South to what I've imagined. So, like, to put it in terms of regional, it's kind of like Root Sports back in the day for Pittsburgh, where you're going to pay this, you're going to get all the Root Sports games.
Well, now with Root Sports, my dad was all fired up because they turned that into an extra paid channel. So he's like, yeah. Well, I lost the Penguins, lost the Pirates.
And that's pretty much what I think this new package is going to be. It's going to replace that. Or it's going to be like the extended version of that. And that's kind of what you're going to get, except you're going to get all of the regional ones. But again, like, I'm not going to randomly start watching other teams, right? Like, you really only want to watch your team. And that's what I'm curious to see. If NFL is not really in it, are the NFL teams getting the same pay cut as, say, something like a college? Because college is going to put, I think colleges, if the Big Ten and the SEC are in this package with the ACC, they put the most content out there. Now, is it the most watched? No, because they have tennis, volleyball, and some other ones that are just aren't bringing big numbers. But they have year-round content that the other sports leagues do not have. NBA tries to do it with their summer league, G League thing, or whatever the hell it's called. But baseball does it with spring training, but they don't have year-round. Like, they don't have anything in the winter. Hockey, they kind of have some stuff in the summer, kind of like basketball, but they're going to be close. They probably have more year-round than baseball. And the NFL doesn't. They don't do anything. They do the draft. That's not going to be on this lockdown channel, I don't think. So what is going to be the value proposition? Because, like, if it turns out that the NFL, most of the people are only paying for the NFL and then they cancel it, how is ESPN going to pay the NBA? Are they going to give them another couple billion dollar contract that's not worth it? I would think the other sports leagues are going to get pretty pissed off about that. But again, it's just them combining their channels because people are cutting cable. And we've already talked about it. ESPN lost, like, what, 15, 20 million subscribers this year? This is their way to try to get them back. And honestly, I haven't had ESPN for a long time. I just don't care. Yeah, I have ESPN Plus. They have some hockey games on there. I'll watch that. I want to see what the cost is. If it's $20 a month, maybe. But that's a hard maybe for me. Because if I still have to jump through hoops to see Michigan sports, it's not worth it. And if it doesn't include all the Braves games, it's also not worth it. Because I don't know how they're going to do the regional sports thing. I think that's what HBO bought, didn't they? Or did Amazon buy it? Amazon might have bought them. Now I don't know how much this is even going to have. Maybe HBO only has the NBA TNT games. Amazon, stop. My stupid thing goes off anyway. Oh my gosh. Anything else you want to talk about with that?
No.
How many games do you watch on TV? Like, how much sports do you watch? A lot?
Anymore. It's cut down drastically, but I think that's just because as my kids get into more sports, I'm doing stuff with them and being at their events. So, I mean, it's cut down. I feel like, too, when I'm looking for stuff, I find myself more and more not necessarily watching multiple games as much as if there's a particular concept I'm looking at. Like, for example, if I'm looking at, like, why snag or why stick, and I'm just looking to see if I can find some other clips of, I'm watching some of my film and I'm seeing, like, what this is where I'm having a problem. How are other programs solving it? And then I may go to, like, YouTube or Google and trying to see what's out there on the web to try to find some supplemental materials on a coaching point, route adjustment, something to see how other people were troubleshooting it and making it work that way.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I think, like, I can make Michigan football games an event in the fall and some NFL ones for fantasy. Like, I can watch all the Packers games pretty much, but, like, in the summer, I'd rather be at the pool. Or, like, doing something else, you know? So it's hard to be, like, I know there's so many baseball games, but it's hard to be, like, all right, we got the big Braves, Mets game coming up, it's like, nah, there'll be like another 8 of those, right? Same with like hockey now. I would like to go to more of the games down here, but they're always so damn late. Like if you're trying, like, I don't know how people can be like with like family and taking their kids to like get the season tickets. I just don't know how they can work it with schools and stuff. Like, oh yeah, you're going to be exhausted after like 30 days, man, of going to games. And I know they have smaller packages and stuff, but even the parking is a headache and going out and doing all that stuff. Going to games, I mean, buying them is like all right, but you can already get some of those random ones on there. Not enough to be like a diehard, because I do know some people that watch every hockey game. Like they'll watch every Penguins game and probably like a good bit of the rest of the NHL, kind of probably what I do for NFL. But to me, it's a lot easier to do it for the NFL. It's only on Sundays, right? Or some other random days. It's not like every day there could be a game and who's playing and what's not playing. So we'll see how it goes. I'm really not excited about the package like I would have been probably 10 years ago. But I guess because I just don't watch as many other sports. It's kind of why the podcast has evolved to primarily just be football at this point.
I think some of it just depends on the games that are actually interesting. Like I feel like we've kind of hit a point with, especially with football, where everything's becoming so streamlined and just so many people doing the same things that it really makes it a pretty severe imbalance between your teams that are competitive and your teams that are not. And I think the current model with the NFL is just if a team wins, take all their coaches away and they'll be successful. And like you look, the 2016 Washington Commanders, they had McVay, they had Shanahan, they had like seven current head coaches on their roster and didn't win anything. So I mean, like, there's something to be said about how they're pillaging these teams and still like poaching these other coaches, and you get this very similar product.
But that's where I said earlier in the show about going youth. Like that Washington team, they had a lot of young coaches, and then they all kind of learned and were able to evolve into their own thing, and now they're all out there as head coaches. But what's going to be the next staff to kind of do that? A lot of staffs are still recycling, like, 60-year-old defensive coordinator that's been a defensive coordinator for 800 different teams. And it's like, all right, they're not like a standout. But at this point, they're just going with the safe bet because they know that if they go younger and it doesn't work out, they're going to get fired and their staff's going to be poached like what happened to that Washington team. So I don't know how they could fix that. But to your point, I'm in the same boat. Like, I think a lot of it, you know what's going to win. Like, I know I don't need to really watch the Chiefs. If it's an upset, it's not like college where it matters. Like, college might not matter that much anymore either. So now we might have, Michigan loses to Penn State. Not a big deal. Who cares? Maybe we'll see them in the playoffs, right? Where this year, it's like if Michigan would have lost to Ohio State, they don't win the national championship. They don't even make the playoffs.
Nope.
It matters. Like the Chiefs losing to the Raiders or someone, it's like, doesn't matter at all unless it's the last week of the season or something where it's for a playoff game or it is a playoff game. And so if it wasn't for fantasy, like if we stopped having the fantasy league, I probably would stop watching the NFL a good bit. It would probably just be the Packers and Steelers maybe at that point. And even then, sometimes Steelers are playing and they're so bad. There was at least a couple times like during the season this year where I'm watching the game and I'm like, let's just go out to eat I'll keep an eye on the rest of the game at the like the bar or something, but I don't want all my focus to be on this because it is an awful product. And other people have to feel the same way, right? If I'd rather walk around a Target, dude, than watch the Steelers trot out there, even with Mason Rudolph, that's a bad sign. But that's all I have. Anything else you want to talk about this week?
The schedule is released for the United Football League. So we do have that season kicking off in March.
Yeah, I was going to talk. That was going to be my closing. So the Super Bowl is going to wrap up. And I know we've been talking a bunch of boring stuff this week because Pro Bowl sucked. And there's been a bunch of college lawsuits and coaching changes or whatever. Now we got a real football league coming back. So as the show evolved into more football stuff, we actually might have almost year-round football, which would be new and exciting. We might be the only ones really even doing a United Football League show. So maybe that'll be a good way for us to pick up viewers for those that are on the live stream and get some chats going. And I know every time we try to bring in some other people to call in, but we will see if there's some ways to help grow the show. So if you have any ideas or anything you want to talk about, us to talk about, let us know. But anything else you have?
The only other thing, and now I'm drawing a blank. Of course, it was the greatest holiday weekend. National Wing Tea Clinic, buddy. Had a great opportunity to be among my own people, unjudged.
Were you the youngest one there?
I was not the youngest one there, however.
I thought you were going to say, by far.
However, I'm going to say, by far, I was not the fattest person there.
I thought you were going to say the most handsome. You didn't go that way.
Didn't quite go that way. There were definitely some former offensive lineman-esque people there.
I thought you were going to say you looked around and were like, damn, I'm the best-looking guy here. Then you should just start presenting.
Well, I think that everywhere I go. So, I mean, that's just typical day.
That's why you got to start presenting. Because you could be like, hey, I'm the best-looking guy. I'm like eye candy up here for these other men. That's what I want to hear from you. I want to get a message like, hey, man, I'm doing the Wing Tea Clinic. I'll be like, awesome. Awesome, man. That's what I want to hear from you. I want you to give your presentation. And I got some crazy things that you can talk about. It's called shotgun formation. But was it in Pittsburgh?
It was in Pittsburgh. It was actually one of the presenters that was there was one of the guys that when I was coaching in North Carolina that we'd gotten some of the shotgun ideas from. So it was nice that I got to talk with him. I was like, well, I remember this package that you were originally talking about. And he goes, man, that was a long time ago. He's like, we really changed a lot from that, those formations.
That's pretty cool. So, was Dave Wannstedt there?
He was not there.
I did see a random thing where Ohio State fans were thinking that if Ryan Day couldn't get it done, Dave Wannstedt's on their short list for new head coach.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, damn, that guy listens to our show.
They just better have a budget for watches and hair product.
I'm probably the only guy that still talks about Dave Wannstedt. So for an Ohio State fan to bring it up, they have to listen to the show, Matt. So what? I want to let you know that we're making an impact of people's lives. And that person is Dave Wannstedt. Because he's like, it's like the Pat signal, but it's like a Dave signal. And he's like, I'm getting a raise.
The Wannstash.
Yeah, they want me. I'm going to get a raise here for whatever. Is he still on TV? He has to be old. You can get Pete Carroll for that. That would be funny if Ohio State got Pete Carroll. He has to be like almost 80 though, too.
Yeah.
But All right.
He's just probably going to enjoy his son coaching at UW.
I know. I saw all the dads, all their sons are going to different places. I think Jay Harbaugh is going to go to Seattle with McDonald instead of going to the Chargers with his dad. And people were like, nepotism. Why did he take the nepotism job? I'm like, plus people keep talking about it. It's about time he branched out. I'm surprised he didn't do it earlier, to be honest. Because like it was clear that Michigan was never going to promote him into a Brian Ferentz situation. Like Jim likes to just keep him low and use him for recruiting. But he could have went to pro at any time. Because he's a pretty solid special teams coach for Michigan. So, not surprised. But I am surprised he didn't follow his dad. Because like at some point, though, you're like, hey, I'm spending my entire life hanging out with my dad. I think that would be pretty cool if you just worked with your dad your whole life, right? Almost like a father-son. But they're not like plumbing. They're coaching football.
They're not auto wreckers.
That's like Harbaugh and son football. Stanford football coaches.
Son.
But all right, you have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Like I said, thanks for listening. And don't worry, we got football coming up with the United Football League right after the Super Bowl. And maybe I'll do a count how many times I see Taylor Swift. I saw that she was only on for 44 seconds, they said. But man, that's a long 44 seconds. So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.